Well, Shabbat Shalom, everyone.
Shabbat Shalom.
We're going to be looking at Numbers. We're up to chapter 10. As you know, in this series, we're really only looking at the direct words of God. This is not supposed to be going over chapter by chapter, but actually, it is chapter by chapter, but just looking at what the words of God, the actual ones are.
You got the date wrong.
Is that what all the confusion is? Talking? Yeah. What do I got on there? The 18th?
Yeah.
Well, it was the 18th. Oh, well, you know what it is. It's usually on Friday that I'm working on the message. So I look at the date and I add a day. And,
okay.
All right. Sorry about that, folks. You're not crazy. It is the 17th. Yeah. So anyway, we're going to look at Numbers 10. And the only actual words of God in this chapter are the first 10 verses. I'm going to read those just to get started here. Starting in verse 1, says, "The Lord spoke to Moshe, saying, Make two silver trumpets for yourself. You shall make them of hammered work. You shall use them for the calling. You shall use them for calling the congregation and for directing the movement of the camps. When they blow both of them, all the congregation shall gather before you at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. But if they blow only one, then the leaders, the heads of the divisions of Israel, shall gather to you." Now remember the divisions. So there's 12 tribes, but there's only 4 divisions. Okay, there's 3 tribes in each division. North, south, east, and west divisions. Verse 5, "When you sound the advance," this is when they are to move, "the camps that lie on the east side shall then begin their journey. Memorial for you before your God, I am the Lord your God." Verse 6, "When you sound the advance the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall begin their journey. They shall sound the call for them to begin their journeys. And when the assembly is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but not sound the advance. The sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpets, and these shall be to you an ordinance forever throughout your generations." Verse 9. "Further, when you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. Also, in the day of your gladness, in the appointed feasts, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets. Over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be a memorial for you before your God. I am the Lord your God." So we have these silver trumpets. They're to be used as follows. Both blown together to cause the gathering of all the congregation. So there was 2 silver trumpets, both blown together. Everybody comes. You blow just one, it causes the gathering of just the leaders. It was used for the sounding of the advance, meaning the movement of the camps. When going to war in your land against an invading army, so an army's coming in, you need to blow the trumpets so that God remembers you and intervenes on your behalf. And then also in the day of gladness, so the appointed feasts and Passover. Okay? So that's my nutshell of what they're to be used for in terms of, well, that's what God said they're to be used for. And it's a lot, okay? It's quite a bit. They use these silver trumpets for many things. They got, you know, if you look at all of those different things, that would mean that those trumpets are being blown quite a bit. And it was the way that the trumpets were blown that signified different things. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever noticed, but many years ago when I got my shofar, I looked up how to blow it. I did a study on it. I mean, wow, this was 20 years ago. I did a study on it. And if you've never noticed, I do it the same way every time. Have you ever noticed that? Okay, there's three medium blasts to start. And then there's seven very quick ones. And then that's followed by a real long one that is supposed to be about the same length as you add up the three shorter ones at the beginning. Okay, so the three to start with are called the Shevarim, and it's a call for repentance. The seven after that is the Teruah. Okay, you're kind of familiar with that word. The scholars say it's to like to awaken the soul or to, to shout. It's the joy of shouting coming out and awakening the soul to a joy of shouting is basically what that is. And then you've got that long one, which is called, I forget what it's called. The tekiah, it's called the tekiah, and that is for the coronation of a king. Okay, so my only point to sharing that is just to say that the Israelites knew what these various sounds were. As we saw some time back, as I said, the 12 tribes were divided into these four groups. Okay. So you had three to the north and south, east, and west. And when they moved, the tribes of Judah went first. And so there was a specific way then that the trumpet played. I don't know what that is. Didn't get into looking at that. Maybe it was two short, one long, and five blurps. I don't know. You know, think of like Morse code, only, you know, sound, right? Instead of just click, it's just sound. That whole idea of Morse code wouldn't surprise me if it came out of this kind of thing, because the Morse code is nothing but sounds, long, short, long, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, then when the second three went out, it was something different, and I'm sure. And so when you think about even this application of war, you have battalions, right? And so this battalion and this battalion, you know, when you were giving a command to this battalion, it might be blip, blip, blip. And then after that, telling them to move left or move right or go around the flank or what have you. I mean, the leaders literally would use sounds like that to direct the troops, not only for them to, you know, to take out, maybe to advance or retreat, but other things. And again, specific to different battalions within the army. So there was a lot of nuance to this, and I, you know, there was another rabbit hole that I could have gone down with people that have tried to figure out what these different cadences meant and if there was any like connections that could be made based on that. I didn't go down that road, but obviously the system of directing the actions and movements of people by means of sounding any horn or beating a drum, you know, drum beats, those types of things. This was not new. It was not invented by Israel. This is not a new thing that God was implementing in terms of using sounds, horns, and all of that for this type of thing. However, what we just read was God implementing something for these particular two silver horns, okay? Because, you know, this was more than just their emergency broadcast system, okay? This was more than what the people around them had in terms of using sounds and stuff to direct the people. This was something that God was doing that was familiar to them, but yet had an elevated meaning. Because the shofar is not the silver trumpets. It's two completely different things. That's a ram's horn. The silver trumpets were literally silver. We just read that they were of a hammered work. Okay? They're hammered out of silver. So now the Bible itself, we didn't get anything there as to what they looked like. It just said silver trumpets, right? However, archaeologists have found some coins in Israel that actually had depicted the horns on them. And that actually lined up with Josephus, the historian, that talked about the horns, and he gave a description of them, and they correspond. So we do know what they looked like. They were long. They didn't have valves on them like our trumpets do. They were straight. They had a flared tube. I missed one at the bottom. New moons as well. This is what they looked like. Very similar to that. They were about 18 inches in length. Those might be a little long. I don't know. But much different than a shofar. It's not the same, okay? So when you look back then at this list, you might notice, like I did, that when several of these things like this, when you're in like this one, you look at those things and you think about some of those events that happened, and then you read in your Bible that it's a shofar, or the word that's translated as shofar, you go, well, why? Why does that say shofar for these particular things when God said to blow the trumpet? Why use a shofar when God said to use the silver trumpet? So I open up Numbers 10, and I read this, and I'm looking at it, and that's the question that comes to my mind. And that's all the further I got, to be honest. Okay? Why? Why use a shofar? And so I spent a lot of time on this, and could have spent more if I had it. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to share what I found. Because there are four Hebrew words that are translated to trumpet. And that's what gets very, very confusing. Because, see, you know, what did I do? First thing I did, I looked up in Hebrews 10, what's the word for trumpet? Okay, cool. Found that Hebrew word. All right. And when you click on that and you get the Strong's number, you can see a list of all the scriptures. And I'm looking at that list, and I look up some of those, and then you look up, then you think, well, wait a minute. It referred to a trumpet over here, and you read up that verse, and the word for trumpet is a completely different Hebrew word. So then you click on that one, and you look at that Hebrew word, and you say, and here's another whole list, another list of scriptures. That then you can go through. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, hundreds of scriptures. So you just get to where you're just looking at, you know, just going down. I don't want, you know, never when you're reading scripture should you say as you're going down a rabbit hole. But, I mean, you know, that's you get into this. And you find, after a while, these four. That there's five, you know, you'd think there's two. No, there's four. The first one is Kadotira. Kadotira. Sometimes you'll see this. They won't have the C in front of it. I don't know why. This is what's used in Numbers 10. This is the silver trumpets. This is a word that's directly talking about the silver, the two. Two. There's only two of them. Two silver trumpets. Okay. Then there's this word we're pretty familiar with, the teruah. This is what we refer to as the day of trumpets. It really should be the day of shouting. Do you remember that message where we talked about what teruah really means? It's making a shout. It's a loud noise of rejoicing, and it's a loud sound. We will shout for joy when Yeshua returns. This is the teruah, and one could use a shofar to make that joyful noise. That's okay, see? That makes a noise. That can be a shout. That can be a shout of joy by a person blowing it for that purpose. But it's not a shofar. Okay. Then we have shofar, H7782. If you look it up, a lot of times it's spelled S-H-O-P-H-A-R, shofar. That's the ram's horn. This word always refers to that object. But sometimes it's translated to cornet. So just remember that. You see cornet, you're reading ram's horn. There was a lot. Okay, lastly, we have this word, H3104 is yobel. Bail, yobel. And this refers to the blast of the ram's horn, the sound that the ram's horn makes, which is tied to the Jubilee. And we'll get there much later, but there's a reason for that that you'll understand when we get there. Okay? This word is never to be used for this. This word's never to be used for this, okay? They are different. When it's done that way, it's an error of translation. Just understand that, because it's like this word. It's in the Bible 27 times. One time, it's translated to trumpet, and it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. I think, if I remember right, that's in Exodus 19, is that one in error. At any rate, you should note that there is a particular word for trumpet, and there is a particular word for shofar. Yet, in your Bible, you will see these getting mixed a lot. And there's a genuine reason for, I mean, I shouldn't say a reason. There is a reason why they got into that thinking that these two were somewhat the same. But they're in error for doing that. The other two, this one and this one, both, well, this one relates to the sound of only the shofar. This could could relate to this, I guess, but it never does in any of the verses that I read. What makes this study very confusing is that those two words get translated to trumpet almost all the time. It's like that is what made the sound. It's not consistently applied, which is why this study and me, it's taking all this time, that this path took so long. Some Christian commentaries wrongly assume that the shofar was just a primitive version of this. And so, well, when they got mature more, then it was a trumpet. But before that, it was just this crummy old ram's horn. And so they think that. And they're not interchangeable, you know. It's like when you're reading trumpet in your Bible, you need to think about it like you think of the word hell. When you read the word hell in the Bible, hopefully, you're looking up and you're discerning, well, is this Gehenna, you know, or is it Tartaros, or is it, you know, the grave? What are we talking about, okay? You have to do the same thing every time you read trumpets. And there's a reason for it, and we'll get there. Look here, for example. Judges 7 and verse 18 says, "When I blow with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon." So this is Gideon talking. He's blowing the trumpet. But is he? Can Gideon blow the trumpet? No. This is a shofar, and it's translated trumpet. Here's another one, also in Judges. Judges 6:34. "The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him." It's the same thing. Shofar is translated here trumpet. But we have to understand this is not that silver trumpet. Hosea 5, verse 8, "Blow ye the cornet in Gilbey, and the trumpet in Ramah. Cry aloud at Bethaven after thee, O Benjamin." Blow ye the cornet. So what do you think this word is in Hebrew? It's shofar. Sometimes shofar is translated cornet. A shofar was blown at the coronation of a king. You read about David and some of the other kings getting coronated, and you read about the trumpet being blown. It's a shofar. But it's also sometimes the silver trumpet. The whatever that other word was, the catchem, whatever it was. You see what I'm saying? There was both of them were blown sometimes. Same thing happened at Jericho. I got to reading through there. It's like, okay, well, they do the trump. You go there and you look up the story in Jericho and you look up those words. Well, guess what? The shofar was blown. So was the silver trumpet. And they're both delineated that way in that story. And so this is why you can understand and have grace for the translators that were just seeing this, you know, as something that was interchangeable. And so you end up reading all these scriptures of shofar and teruah and, you know, all these words, and you go like, what? I'm just going around and around and around. What's the deal? What is the significant difference in usage between the shofar and the trumpet, and is it consistent? And what's it telling us? You know, or what's it telling me? I, you know, I I struggled with it because there are two different things. They had different words to delineate the two different things. And they're used at the same time in some instances. And sometimes not. Sometimes it's very specific. It's just the shofar, or it's just the silver trumpet. I can tell you there's a ton of information, and you can spend, well, I can attest to that. You can spend hours, looking at all this information and trying to figure this out. And so, frustrated, I went back to Numbers, and I saw the key to it. It's in verse 8, and we already read it. Oh, I had another example for you. And I'm not doing very good on my slides here. What was I trying to say here? Oh, yeah. See, he blew the trumpet. So you're getting hints as to where I'm going with this. So there was a man of Belial whose name was Sheba. He was a Benjamite. Now, if you're a Benjamite, what aren't you? You're not a Levite, okay? You're Benjamite. And he blew the trumpet. No, he blew a shofar. Why? Verse 8. Now we're caught up. What's verse 8 say? The sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpets. It's an inference there that, what is it? It's only the priests that blow the trumpets. This is to be an ordinance forever throughout your generations. Whenever God says that, He means it. There were two of these trumpets. There weren't a whole bunch of them. I mean, everybody and his brother had one of those. Okay. But there were only two of these silver trumpets. Only the priests blew the silver trumpets. And once I had that, then you realize that, then you begin to get all this consistency with these words. Not necessarily the translations. The words themselves, just like you treat hell. Okay? You got to treat trumpets the same way. Right? You got to look at the Hebrew words. Look at this passage in Judges. Judges 7:18, when I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of the camp and say, the sword of the Lord and the hand of Gideon. What is this? Again, who's blowing the trumpet? Gideon. Is he a priest? No. So guess what that word is?
Shofar.
It's shofar. That's exactly right. And it's correct because he's not a priest. He's from Manasseh. And not being a priest, he was not allowed to use the silver trumpets. It was only for the priests. And this is why, at things like Jericho, what was going on at Jericho? Who was there? You had the army of Israel. Who led the army of Israel? The priests. The priests. The priests went ahead. So when the priests go ahead, what are they blowing?
The silver trumpets.
But the army is there. And the leaders of the army is there. And the leaders of the army are directing the movement of that around. What are they using?
A shofar.
It started to come together, finally. Okay. Because that's the key. What we find is that the study became not about trying to figure out what the two instruments were used for, but who was blowing them. Who was blowing them? Common people can blow the shofar. The priests can blow the shofar. But only the priests can blow the silver trumpet. So that's one easy way when you're reading to know whether it was a trumpet or a shofar. You don't even have to go to the Hebrew. Just look at the context and say, who's blowing this thing? If it isn't a priest, you can know that it's a shofar. Or if they're referring to the sound of the shofar, then it could be teruah or that other word that I don't remember how to pronounce. Okay? So, what's another example? I lost my place. I gave the example of Jericho. The other example is a king. When a king is being coronated, what's going on? A king is being coronated over Israel, which Israel belongs to and is the nation and the possession of God, right? And so, can there be a king in the nation of God without God's agreement to put him there? No. So, which trumpet is going to get blown? By the priests. Okay? That one. But now the people have to accept that king, right? So what's going to get blown for that?
Shofar.
The shofar. All right? So this is how we can really understand it. When they're to pack up and move camp, is that a command from God? Yeah, because when the fire in the cloud leaves, they're to move. So that's telling the priests that it's time to move. And so then the priests, speaking on behalf of God, they sound the silver trumpet. And they tell them to move, don't they? That's God doing that. Now, let's say you're in that first division and you're Judah. You're the leader over that division. You've got three tribes in your division. That sound goes out to you from God on the silver trumpet that says it's time for us to move. Now he's got to direct three tribes. How many people are in those three tribes? Hundreds of thousands, right? What's he going to use to direct those three tribes? The shofar. So when they're moving, the trumpets are sounding, the shofar is sounding in different ways. I mean, that leader of Judah had certain cadences, a certain Morse code for one tribe to leave and then the next. You know, see what I'm saying? You start to get some organization to this, right? Look again at verse 9. When you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. One of the key purposes of the horn blast, says verse 9, is that when the horns are blown during battle, that the Lord will remember Israel and they will be delivered. Pretty cool. In essence, the silver trumpet blasts are kind of dual, right? In this sense, it's really a prayer, isn't it? It's to God to say, okay, remember us. We're doing what you told us to do. Remember us. And then, you know, you think about the priests going ahead of the army. That's what they did when they went out. The priests went first. And what were they doing as they were going out? They were blowing those silver trumpets. What is that saying to the people that they're coming towards?
You better get out.
Oh, buddy. And I guarantee you, the people around there began to understand that. That was the voice of God's judgment. Going out ahead of them. This is a horn being only blown by the priest on behalf of God. It gets really crazy. I would think that that sound would just bring fear to the heart of any enemy that heard it. Because, you know, think about it. Sometimes that's all it took. We had the one instance where, you know, that sound went out and the army just decided to fight each other and they all killed each other. And Israel didn't have to lift a finger. When that sound of judgment comes across by God, He means it. There's no escaping it, right, at that point. The silver trumpet voiced God's judgment. And so rightfully, it was only blown by the priests. But yet, the leaders of the army, they still used, as I said before, they'd use a shofar. Hey, Company B, go around this way and catch them from behind. That's four short blasts and three long ones, right? You see what I mean? I also think about the impact of that trumpet blast at the return of Yeshua. For those that yearn for Him and wait for Him, that sound will be teruah. It will be a sound of joy and exhilaration and anticipation and crowning of a king and just a wonderful exuberation and excitement. It will be teruah. But for those that are the enemy of God, it will strike so much fear that men's hearts will just give out. Luke 21. I'm going to read 25 through 28. There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come and pass, then look up and lift your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. So the reaction to the sound of the silver trumpet really depends on which side of Israel you're on, doesn't it? That sound can be terrifying if you're at odds with God. Yet be the sound of unbridled joy if you are with Him. What will you see? What will you hear? Will you shout for joy at the coming of a king? Or will you run to the clefts of the rock in fear and your heart failing you for it? Revelation 8, verse 13. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to come. And I began to think about this in this context of these trumpets belonging only to the priests. Only pressing that sound out in things that God ordained to be done, movement, other things, as well as judgment to the enemies. That's all they were used for. I would then suggest that this trumpet, although this is Greek, and I can't, you know, look at that and say, oh, that's a silver trumpet. But when you understand who's blowing it, an angel in heaven, then you put the pieces together. The tabernacle was a copy of the throne room. the priests or his to do his will. What does that relate to with the angels in heaven? They are there doing his will. They can blow the trumpet. You see where I'm going there? The priests are God's possession to do his will, just like the angels in heaven. So it's not a stretch at all, I don't think, to believe that the silver trumpets in Numbers is likened to be a copy, if you will, of the trumpets in heaven. Because in both places, the ministers, the priests, whatever word you want to use, those that are doing his will, that are set aside for that, are both blowing a trumpet that only they can blow. And so here the trumpets are sounding what? They're sounding a warning, right? Just like, you know, the advancing army had this trumpet warning going out to the enemy. Same thing here. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. He's coming. Judgment is coming. And they sound the trumpet. Just like the silver trumpet sounded the warning to Israel's enemies, then here the angel is sounding a trumpet to warn the people that Yeshua is about to advance on this world. I mean, it's pretty easy to see that correlation. Now then, in Numbers 10, it also tells us that those same trumpets to the people of God are blown on joyous occasions, right? Those being the feast days. Now, Numbers 10:10. Also in the day of your gladness, in your appointed feasts, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be a memorial for you before your God. I am the Lord your God. The background of this is that the morning and evening sacrifices, they blew the silver trumpets over those sacrifices every day. Every day. So really, what's this come down to? You've got a trumpet being used to move people, but in these two cases I'm talking about, one is a warning of impending danger, right? And an advancing of the army of God. And then the other is joy. So we're back to the same thing. It's the same trumpet. Everybody's going to hear that same trumpet. Have two completely different responses, right? It all depends on physically, what did it depend on? Which side of Israel you were on. If you were with Israel, you were okay. Uh-uh. And it's still the same today. Where are you with Israel? I mean, we're spiritual Israelites, okay? So, are you part of that chosen nation? Then the horn for you is a call to the feasts. It's a call for joy and gladness to come to the feasts, right? To move as God tells you to move, you move. When God says for you to do something, you're back to obedience again. Those horns were always pushing forth what to do in obedience to God, right? So are you part of that nation? Are you part of following Him in obedience? Then that's how you're going to hear the horn. If you're not, then, all that's left is earnest expectation of dread, I guess. If you're enmity against God, as it says in the scriptures, then that trumpet blast is coming at you for judgment. But for those that are, you know, Israel, it's great news. Now, the good news right now is that there's still time to heed that warning and become part of Israel before what we read in Revelation happens. The time is right now to listen to the sound of the trumpet calling you to gladness, calling you to His appointed times, calling you to draw near to Him. You respond to that trumpet call now. You don't have to be worried about it later. The sound of the silver trumpet for the Israelite, and by extension to us as spiritual Israelites, is to be the sound of protection, not fear. It's to be a sound to make us move like they did, moving in obedience to His instructions. It is a sound of protection to fight our battles against the dark forces that come against us. It's a sound of gladness as He invites us to be in His feasts and to rejoice with Him. So it's really important to understand when these silver trumpets are blown versus when the shofar is blown. After going through this, I see the difference between the two as the silver trumpets being God speaking, God's voice of judgment, God's voice of obedience, do this, do that, God's invitation, come meet me here at this feast, come meet me here at this one. These are times that I've appointed for you. That's Him speaking. And the shofar, when it's used correctly, is us speaking. It's kind of us speaking back to God, right? It's us declaring our submission to His will. In another way, you know, the shofar is kind of like a prayer too, you know. The silver trumpets announce God's will. The shofar seeks God's will. The shofar confirms our obedience to it. The silver one blows, says it's time to move. The leaders use the shofar to say, yes, sir, here you go, here you go, here you go, here. We see this in Leviticus 25. Then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. On the Day of Atonement you shall make the trumpet to sound throughout all your land. This one, well, I'll just say this. The Day of Atonement is one of the holy days, of course. And we read that the silver trumpets were to be blown by the priest for the feast days, right? So what do you think this is? Me too. It's not. And it baffled me. It's shofar. The silver trumpet was not blown on the Day of Atonement. Now, there's commentaries out there that say that, well, and I will say it was a Christian commentary, that said that because they read the feast days, right? They read, these are my feasts in Leviticus 23. They don't really understand that they're appointed times, that they're also Sabbaths and these things. So they keyed on the word feasts. And they were like, okay, well, the reason that it was a shofar on the Day of Atonement at the Jubilee is because it's not a feast, because they're fasting. And I'm like, really? No, that cannot be it. Just because we don't eat doesn't mean it's not a holy day, doesn't mean it's not a Sabbath. So it's got to be something else. That didn't help me at all, and I spent too much time reading it. So I thought about it. And all I could think of after I, you know, really was focusing in and thinking about this differentiation between it being God's trumpets and, you know, the shofar, I realized that the Jubilee is about forgiveness, isn't it? We're forgiving debts. Now, God can make a command for us He can command that, and he did. But the people actually have to forgive the debt, don't they? The people have to do it. The people have to forgive. The people have to blow the shofar. And there was another hint in here when it's translated throughout all your land, it was this phrase, the passing through. The passing through. And so what this meant was that this trumpet, this shofar sound, went out all over. There was only two silver ones. It's only two. This, the phraseology here, it's muted by the translation into English, but the phraseology here suggests that the shofar went out, many shofars everywhere across the land, all, you know, and who, you can't do that with two silver ones, first of all. And secondarily, it's the people that have to forgive the debt. It has to happen throughout all of the land. And so people, not priests, blow the shofar. And we see that a lot of times. At Jericho, they blew the shofar. When Ehud, E-H-U-D, I don't know how to pronounce that guy's name, when he subdued Moab, there was a blowing of the shofar. We read Gideon blowing the shofar. Saul, now he wasn't a priest, right? What did he blow? If you read it, it says trumpet. It was a shofar, you know. And when he went out and attacked the Philistines, he blew a shofar. Joab blew a shofar when Saul died. Absalom blew a shofar when he rebelled against David. The shofar was blown when Asa renewed the covenant with Yehovah. And on and on and on. So many passages that I looked at. You see that shofar being blown, and it's being blown by men. Now, like I say, I actually came across one. I don't know if I put it in my... No, I didn't. I came across another one where the priest blew a shofar. And you think, well, what's up with that? Why didn't he blow it? Well, because he wasn't blowing it on behalf of God in the way that in one of those, it didn't apply to one of those situations. He was making, I forget what it was about, he's making some announcement or something, and it was a shofar. So I can't say that I went through and I read every single one of these, but every single one of them that I read, which was a lot, it was consistent all the time. You never saw anyone other than a priest blow that silver trumpet. That's really the point that I have, you know. I mean, it seems like there was an awful lot that went on to just figuring out, hey, this is the delineation. But I hope it helps you when you're studying your Bible. I hope it helps to keep these Hebrew words in mind when you read this word trumpet. Okay? Keep those in mind. Always make sure that you understand what instrument is actually being used, and even more importantly, who is blowing it. Because it will give clarity to the event and the context. Understanding that when Yehovah tells his priests or his angels to blow the trumpet, it's coming from God, and it's very different than somebody just blowing the shofar. Even though I could give another whole message on how they use the shofar, what some of those things meant to them. I alluded to why I blow it the way I blow it. That's not the only way to blow it. There are many other things that in the ways that you could blow it that that say other things. But listen, it's very appropriate even for both of them to be used in the same event. Again, like during a war, because the priests go with the silver trumpets and the leaders are blowing the shofar to direct movements. You coronate a king. How do you do that? Well, in the nation of Israel, which is God's nation, God coronates the king with his silver trumpets, and the people coronate the king with their shofar. Okay? A man doesn't blow the shofar on behalf of God. He blows a shofar in response to God. That's how I see it. It's to respond to him or to seek him. Or else it's just communication between men. Okay? Because it's that too. But the silver trumpet is only blown on behalf of God himself to announce judgment and to instruct men to move and to obey. And that can't be done by anyone but God's representative. So, took me a long time to get there. It's really the only point that I got out of it. I intended to look at those first 10 verses and Numbers and kind of move along and didn't get there. So, that's what I got for you today. That's what I understand about the horns. Maybe somebody in here knows more about it than I do and can shed some more light on it. But if you do, I'd love to hear it. Amen?
Amen. Amen.